Now, seriously, everybody look at the person next to him. Would you die for that person? Would you all die for me? Adam, are you shaking your head? No, where are you? Well, listen to this. This is in John 15, verses 13 through 16. And we know that God has chosen each one of us for a purpose, don't we? So let's read this. Verse 13 of John 15. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have appointed you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask in the Father's name, it shall be given to you. Like I said, he's got something in mind for you to do. Now we'll turn the time over to Luke.
Friends. There were two friends named John and Tom who was going on a walk through the woods. John said, Friend, I am afraid there are wild beasts in this forest. What will we do if a wild beast attacked us? Don't be afraid, John, said Tom. I shall stand by your side if any danger comes. We shall fight together and save ourselves. Thus talking, they went on their journey. Suddenly, they saw a bear coming towards them. Tom at once climbed the nearest tree. He did not think what his friend would do. John didn't know how to climb a tree. He had no way of escape. He was helpless. But soon he took a plan. He fell flat on the ground like a dead man. The bear came up to John. It smelt his nose, his ears, and his eyes. It took him to be dead and went away. Then Tom came down from the tree and said to John, What did the bear whisper in your ear? John said, The bear told me not to trust a friend who leaves his friend in danger. Moral of the story is an insincere friend is more to be feared than a wild beast. Have you ever been disappointed by a friend? It can be very hurtful and even harmful. Almost like being eaten by a bear. So today, I want to talk to you about friendship. And since the Bible is the only book written that always speaks the truth in all areas of life, let's turn to 1 Samuel 18, 1-4. And this will help give us some insight into this thing called friendship. So let's read. After David finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. The dictionary defines a friend as a person who one knows and whom one has a bond of mutual affection. But I think the Bible has some of the best definitions you'll find any place in literature. Solomon said in Proverbs 17:17, A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Proverbs 18:24 says, A man who has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, if you survey your life, you will discover there are four different kinds of friends. First of all, you might have contact friends. These are people that you just meet every day in life. People that you pass, maybe it is the elevator operator, or the policeman walking by on his beat, or the man who pumps gas into your car. Just people that you know, people with whom you are acquainted, and that's all. There's a second level of friendship that goes beyond that, and this is what we might call casual friendship. These are people who have a common interest with you, maybe a Facebook friend, people with whom you are free to speak. And I have many casual friends with whom I talk about sports. We have that one little thing in common. We just get together and talk about athletes and sporting events. Then there's a third level of friendship that goes beyond contact and casual friendship, and that is what we might call close friends. A close friend is one who shares a common goal, someone with whom you are in connection with some issue. Maybe it's a partner in a business. Hopefully, it is your wife or your husband. Or maybe it is a person you work with in the office or factory where you work. Maybe it is an associate in some endeavor or a climbing partner. That would be a close friend. But the kind of friendship that I want to talk about today is a rare kind of friendship. In fact, while I'm sure that most of you can recall lots of contact and casual and even close friends, if you are really honest about this fourth category, you will find it is hard to name more than 1 to 3 people in your entire life who qualify for this fourth category. This is what we might call a committed friend. Do you know what a committed friend is? A committed friend is a friend who cares enough to confront you about blind spots in your life. A committed friend is one who will tell you what is wrong with you so that you can be better. Hopefully, if you are married, you are a committed friend to your spouse. A friendship is a valuable asset, and it is well worth cultivating in our own lives. There is no better example of a true friendship than that between Jonathan and David. And their relationship serves as an example to all of us who would choose to be a close or a committed friend. David and Jonathan illustrate for us the kind of relationship that can be had between two who are our friends. And there are some characteristics that I want to tell you about their relationship. First of all, as we begin to read the story in 1 Samuel 18, we learn that friendship is selective. It says in the first part of chapter 18 that it came to pass that when he made an end to speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan literally became knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Here is someone who chose a relationship with another, and now you know the story. How David, a sheep herder, came down to the valley where the battle was fought between the Philistines and Israelites. The Philistines had plagued the Israelites for many months, and no one seemed to know what to do to conquer them. Because, you see, they had a champion of war by the name of Goliath. He stood out in front of his army and shouted threats. He also scorned and made fun of the Israelites, and no one was willing to go out and fight him. David came down to the battle, and he volunteered to be the champion. After they got over their shock and laughed and tried to send him home, after he tried on Saul's armor and found out it was too big, David went out equipped with only a slingshot and 5 stones. You know the story. It is an amazing story. David killed Goliath and cut off his head and used it as a trophy to parade his victory in front of the people of God. Jonathan was the son of Saul, Saul the king, who had not been able to deal with the enemy. And Jonathan watched one day as David came home from the battle, parading the trophy of his success. There is a very interesting passage in the Old Testament that says, when David came home from the battle, the people sang a song, and the song went like this: Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. That is good news if you happen to be David. But it is not good news if you are King Saul. Jonathan was the son of King Saul, and he saw David as the champion. And after choosing David as a friend, his soul was knit to David's. And it was a relationship that would be under the pressure of Jonathan's father, and yet Jonathan and David became close friends. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Jonathan selected David as his friend. Aren't you glad God lets you pick your own friends? So friendship is selective. But notice, secondly, that friendship is sacrificial. We read later on in the text that Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and his bow and to his girdle. Now, this is not simply one man that had fine clothes sharing them with another man whose clothes weren't so good. Here was Jonathan, the son of the king, taking off the garments that spoke of his royal heritage and giving his robe to his rival. You see, David was going to become king in the place of Jonathan. Jonathan was one who by right should have inherited the throne, but David, because of his valor and because of his leadership, and most importantly because God's selection, David, as Samuel's anointing, was brought to the throne. Later on, we are going to see that Jonathan had already come to accept that leadership. And now, in this moment of symbolism, Jonathan takes off his royal robes and he places them on David, and he gives them to him as a moment of sacrificial love. David was the son of a sheepherder. Jonathan was the firstborn son of the king of Israel. David was clothed in shepherd's rags. Jonathan was clothed in royalty. It was a reminder to us all that friendship does not depend upon status. When Jonathan stripped himself in favor of his rival, he took off the robes that one day would have been his as the king of Israel and gave it to David. Now, in 1 Samuel 23, you will see that this was something that had a great significance in the mind of Jonathan. For in verse 16 and 17, we read, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David, to the forest, and he strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next to thee, and that also my father knoweth." He had already accepted the kingship of David, and it was all right for Jonathan just to be next to the one that would be king. If you have a friend, and that friend is more than just a casual friend, more than a close friend, that friend is a committed friend, then there is one ingredient which is always present. It is the ingredient of sacrifice. For a committed friend will always sacrifice for that one special friend. For friendship without sacrifice is no friendship at all. There is also a third quality in this relationship that I find very interesting, and that is that a committed friend is steadfast. The interesting thing about Jonathan in his relationship with David, he never became disloyal to his father. Somehow, though, I don't know how he did it, through all the strain and all the stress of Saul's attempts to kill David, to wipe out the threat to the kingship, Jonathan stood in the middle between these two rivals, and he never lost touch with either one of them. He was faithful to his father as much as he could be, and he was faithful to his friend at all times. There was no attempt on the part of Jonathan to manipulate his father in order to protect his friend. And there was no attempt on Jonathan's part to manipulate his friend to gain some advantage for his father. If you come to the end of Jonathan's life and the end of Saul's life, you discover that the relationship with his father, who is the enemy of his friend, somehow was maintained all the way through. And in 2 Samuel 1:23, We read that Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. He honored his father as much as possible. Then there is one last fourth principle of friendship that is also present in their lives, and that is that friendship is secure. A friend is someone who cares enough about you, who will warn you of trouble to come in your life. If we are truly friends, not contact friends, not casual friends, not even close friends, but committed friends, we will always warn that friend who is in danger, always. Now watch what happened, chapter 19. Remember now, David is being hunted by Jonathan's father. He is the enemy of the king, and we read in 1 Samuel 19, 1 and 2, that Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, Saul, my father seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed for thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. What was he doing? Here was his friend David, who was in danger, and he stood between danger and his friend. Oh, I don't know about you folks, but I need some friends like that. I need somebody that is close enough to me that can walk up to me and say, Luke, I don't like what I see in your life. Something is going on with you that troubles me, and I want to warn you. There is danger around the corner if you don't straighten it out. True friendship brings security to one's life. Not only did he warn him of trouble to come, but notice he actually interceded for him. Read on in verse 3. Jonathan again said, And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will talk with my father of thee. And what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul. And he said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant David, because he has not sinned against thee, and his works have been very good towards thee. Jonathan speaking to his father, in essence pleading on his behalf of his friend, saying, Don't misunderstand David. I don't want you to think that he is your enemy. You may be his, but he always speaks well of you. He is your friend. Friendship always faces trouble. Friendship always stands in the place of one who is hurting. Look in your Bible to 1 Samuel 20. And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem, and he said, Let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my father he hath commanded me to be there. If I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, Thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own shame, and unto the shame of my mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send for him, and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said unto him, Why shall he be slain? What has he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and he did not eat food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. Here is the steadfastness of the relationship. Here is the sacrifice and the security of a man who cares deeply about another. I don't know about you, but it makes me feel good thinking about having a friend like that. And I am thankful that I have a couple. And I want to give thanks to the Lord for that relationship. The very best friend you ever had in your life, and you think that there's not anything that can get between you and that friend, but there is always the possibility that that friendship could be destroyed. You see, we are fickle human beings, sometimes through misunderstandings, sometimes through perceived intent, and sometimes through selfishness, our close friendship gets separated. Some of you can relate to the fact that a person you thought you would never, ever have any problems with, in fact, maybe was your best friend, and now you are isolated from one another. How does a person protect themselves so that they always have a friend to rely on? Because we can't live without them. Well, I want to tell you about the rest of the story. The Bible says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I would like to suggest to you that this person is Jesus. And I want you to know that even though I have 2 to 3 people in my life that are my best and closest friends, there are some things that I cannot say to them. But I have a friend to whom I can unburden my heart at any moment of the day or night, who understands me better than I understand myself. When I tell him of my troubles and problems, he is always there to help me. And that friend, of course, is Jesus. I can't help but think of the relationship of David and Jonathan as a picture of my relationship with Jesus. And I would like to suggest some similarities that I find helpful to me, and I hope you will too. As Jonathan selected David, so Jesus Christ selected me. God directed my paths, and he chose me for his very own. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, everlasting love, I have drawn thee. That is what he did. He selected me, and he selected you too. As Jonathan sacrificed for David, Jesus Christ sacrificed for me. Do you know what he did for me? He did almost exactly what Jonathan did for David. He came down out of the throne room of glory, turning his back on all the riches of the kingdom of heaven, walked down upon the earth, and he took off the royal robes that were his by right, and he put on himself the clothing of humanity, so that he might identify with me. And then one day he went to a cruel cross, and there he gave up his life in order that I might go free and that I might someday live in his kingdom with the Father. He sacrificed himself for me. How do I know that my friend loves me? Because he paid the greatest price that any friend could pay. He paid the price with his life. John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, that a man might lay down his life for his friend. As Jonathan was steadfast in his relationship with his father, even though he was a friend to David, so Jesus Christ was steadfast in his relationship with his father, even though he is a friend to me, a sinner. Do you know how that works? It is wonderful. Jesus, in order to be a friend to me, in essence, had to face the fact that his own father would turn his back on him because of the sin he took from me. You see, in order for Jesus to be my friend, he had to identify with me and who I am and my sin. And the Bible says that when he hung on that cross bearing my sin, which was not his but mine, we are told the Father was with him, but his presence was not revealed, and the Son cried out upon the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Ellen White said, had his presence been revealed, every human would have been destroyed by God's glory. But Jesus was willing to be forsaken for a moment by his Father in order that he might reach down his hand and accept me as his friend. Don't you want a friend like that? Accept him today. He is not only your most trusted friend, but he is your Savior. And like Jonathan and David, you can be secure in his love for you. This whole story of friendship relives the whole Christmas story for me. And I hope for you too. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to Bethlehem to be born of the human race, that whosoever should believe in him will be his friend for eternity. What a friend. Let's be friends like Jesus to all our family and neighbors today and forever. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank you for the story of David and Jonathan, how they became close friends, and the example that they gave was what you want portrayed, how you want to be our friends in our lives. And we accept you as our friend because we know that you're not only our friend, you're our Savior, and we want you as both. In thy holy name, amen.